what would you like other South Dakotans to know about your district and constituency?
Well, I've had the honor of representing District 14, which is in Sioux Falls. So we're in the very southeast part of Sioux Falls for the last 4 years in the South Dakota Senate. And we just have a great district. It's full of families, working people that are contributing to our community. There are people that really care about what's happening in the state of South Dakota. I have a lot of teachers and healthcare workers and people that are in different industries within Sioux Falls. It's been a great district to represent, and I've just really enjoyed it and hope to continue.
Discuss a major issue or topic you want the legislature to address.
Well, I think a major topic that will always remain at the forefront in South Dakota has to do with economic development. When we are a state that is supported by sales and use tax primarily that comes in to support all of our community-based programming, it's important that we have a robust economy. And I think one of the big challenges that we have right now in South Dakota is that, particularly like in Sioux Falls and the people I represent, is having a 2% unemployment rate. That while we can look at attracting industry, how are we going to be able to fill that industry with people to work in it? And that's something that we really can never lose sight of. And I know that there are multiple programs of trying to reduce, you know, the bureaucracy on small business. How do we help and support entrepreneurs? What kind of creative things can we do to attract business into South Dakota? I think many times we have to be more creative just simply because of our climate and where we exist within the country. And so sometimes while we love it here and we have a great quality of life, sometimes just even our weather can be a deterrent. So it's important for us to retain our youth within the state of South Dakota and assure that once they're through their education process, that then they can get good jobs in South Dakota. So I think that's really important. And in order to be able to assure that we would be fiscally solvent within the state, then that helps us to reset our priorities in other areas. And some of the things that we've done in the last 3-4 years since I've been in the legislature is level set some major obligations that government has to the people. One would be our what we did in adapting our juvenile and adult justice reform, and that was to not put more people in prison, but to look at programming that keeps them in the community so they can stay with their families, keeping our public safe, of course, but then also to be able to be with their families and have a job and still be taxpayers within the state of South Dakota. We know that incarceration for nonviolent nature, even if the criminal activity is around, for instance, substance abuse, that is not necessarily an overall threat to society, but we need to help them get well. And certainly they have to pay their penalty to society within the court system. We also did a level set on our infrastructure of roads and bridges. I mean, that's something that's very important, that we have a lot of windshield time in South Dakota, so people need to be able to assure that they can safely travel around the state, and that also connects directly back to our commerce when you look at getting our agricultural products to market, for instance. And in this past year, I was really honored to be the co-leader of the Blue Ribbon Task Force on Education Funding Reform, because we had a huge gap in where we were at in paying our teachers, and we needed to level set that. It was about a $65 million gap ongoing every single year, and provided leadership to that solution so that we could assure that we have quality education in South Dakota. I think an issue that we're going to be challenged with moving forward has to do with healthcare. Things are really changing in reimbursement for Medicare dollars that come in reimbursement for people that are cared for in the state. And then that we are moving into trying to achieve better wellness with people, and not just screening for early disease, but really that people would take charge of their health and reduce the utilization of healthcare dollars overall in the future. So most people are covered by some kind of insurance-type product, whether that's for over 65 with Medicare, or people that have group health insurance within where they're employed, or people that might be on the exchange. So right now, a very significant issue in South Dakota is looking at, should we expand Medicaid for those individuals within our state that do not have enough economic welfare to be able to purchase their own insurance product? And of those that are Medicaid eligible as adults, we know that 65% of them are working in jobs. They're just low-paying jobs. And so it makes it very difficult to reach them early and to try to provide prevention strategies instead of them spending money when it's most expensive in healthcare. So I think that we're going to be challenged with those conversations and how to not overburden the taxpayers of South Dakota and yet provide a system that's fair for all.
What legislation would you or solutions would you bring forward to deal with it?
Well, there are some pieces of legislation. I know there's a task force that's working or a summer study through the Legislative Research Council, for instance, looking at long-term care. And are those beds in the appropriate places? And how do we have people age well at home versus utilizing long-term care beds? And that's a piece that can help to reduce Medicaid utilization, or at least hold it where it's not having huge inflationary increases. We are looking at how do we do better mental health care, for instance. We're going to see bills probably moving forward, and how do we help folks that are in the criminal justice system to get mental health care earlier so it's less expensive. I would see we're probably going to see some pieces of legislation regarding the Human Services Center and what that we have down in Yankton. We've had issues of that. We've had issues of primary care access for our Native Americans, and while that's not specific statewide legislation, when the health care is not working within our Indian health services, we see our Native American people accessing health care somewhere else, and that does cost the state money. So we will see different pieces of legislation, I think, moving forward in this next session on how to improve access and reduce costs.